Psalm 122. This psalm expresses what should be in our hearts. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Father, wilt thou bless the reading of this portion of thy word? Wilt thou quiet our hearts and steel our spirits? And may we wait before thee as empty vessels to be filled by thy Spirit. Lord, forgive us of our sins. We think of many sins of commission. We remember many sins of omission. But thou said, if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, Lord, as we've gathered together to worship thee and to praise thy holy name, may thy Holy Spirit be our guide. Direct us in this service. Grant a blessing to each according to the need and one that will be commensurate with thy abundance of riches and glory. Father, we pray for the day when the kingdom of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray for those who have authority over us in positions of state. According to the admonition of the word just read, we pray again for the peace of Jerusalem. Hear us, Father, we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16. It seemed good to the Lord that we direct our attention and thinking for a while to the church. The church of the New Testament. I'm going to read from verse 13 through 18. Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. May the Lord's promised blessing rest upon this reading of a portion of His Word in your hearing. The Lord had retired with His disciples to the great summer resort, Caesarea Philippi, built by Philip, who was a Caesar, as a resort, a great spa, a great place of recreation and relaxation. How long the Lord and the disciples retired to that place isn't stated. But during the course of this period of rest, he asked him a question one day. Not that he didn't know, because he's omniscient, he knows everything. As the word of the Lord says, known unto God from the beginning are all of his works. Stimulating their thinking, probing their thoughts, he said, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? No more important question exists today than that question. Who is this person called Jesus the Christ? We hear the name of Jesus bandied about by every group, cult, and sect known to man. But the identity of the person called Jesus the Christ is something else. Whom do men say that I am? What is the populace saying? What's the general tenor of the conversation pertaining to me? That he was something extraordinary. That is, he was something out of the ordinary. He was a little different to the general run of men. But that he was more than man was not ascertained or known to the general run of men. Some say you're John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was a little different. He was a man sent from God. He was a man who appealed to Herod. He was a man with whom Herod had some conversation. But after John the Baptist had been beheaded on Herod's order because of his wife's demand, the guilty conscience of Herod disturbing him always when hearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, thought surely John the Baptist had risen from the dead. And Herod thought Jesus was John the Baptist. Some thought he was Elijah. There was an authoritative tone to his ministry, his conversation. There was at times a fiery gleam in his eye comparable to that of Elijah. And remembering the prophecy of Zechariah, or Malachi it is, that in the days just preceding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Elijah would return. Some thought that this was Elijah. Some depicted in him Jeremiah because of the weeping and sorrowing manifested in his ministry. Like unto the weeping prophet Jeremiah. Some thought he might be one of the other prophets. Zephaniah spoke of love and tenderness and mercy that was seen also in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one thing all four of these answers have in common. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. All of them were human beings, neither more nor less. Though the Lord seemed to be in a clash with the prophets, yet just a human being. And that's a concept so many have today of Jesus the Christ. All of these Jesus movements and so forth see the man, Jesus. But in their act, their words, demeanor, deny the deity of the Lord. The key word of these groups is sharing, which is not a scriptural experience. Sharing is something that passes from one human being to another human being on the natural basis. The Lord Jesus Christ is to be shared with no one. He is to be witnessed. We are to be witnesses of Christ. Neither is the gospel to be shared, it is to be proclaimed in its entirety. You can trace that expression back to Moscow and to communism and the communes around of the Jesus groups wherein they share. They go to the clothes closet, get out whatever they want and wear. They go to the cupboard, get whatever they want to eat. They share and share alike. In too many of these communes, when it comes to night and they retire, they share and share alike. Watch that expression as it has come into theological circles today, and as it makes its inroad into the lives of innocent people and conversation of innocent people. This is not to be shared, it's to be proclaimed. It's to be taught. Christ is to be witnessed to. Now, one of the favorite songs of this group who knows not Jesus the Christ is "Place Your Hand in the Hand of the Man Who Stilled the Waters." A man, that's all they can see. And they brought the Lord Jesus Christ down from his pedestal of deity into the slough of humanity by calling him just Jesus and Jesus alone. His name is Jesus the Christ. Now, when Jesus asked this group, "Whom do men say that I am?" They say, "You are a human being. You're an exceptional human being. You're an outstanding human being. You're above the mass of humanity. But you're just a man. And we can designate you as Jesus." Now, Jesus is the name of his humanity. He didn't get that name until he got a body of flesh and bones from the Virgin Mary. The name Jesus. Now, contrary to popular opinion, the Lord Jesus Christ is seated on the Father's throne at his right hand, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. How few people realize that Jesus the Christ is at the right hand of God. I had the privilege while I've gone speaking in a regular Orthodox evangelical Southern Baptist church, and during the course of my remarks I had something to say about the literal presence of Jesus in heaven, and there were deacons and leaders in the church, even the pastor's wife, had never heard that Jesus the Christ had a body and that that body was in heaven today. Jesus the Christ. Now, if he isn't present in his body of flesh and bones in heaven today, then Jesus Christ is not in heaven. Now, having ascertained from the disciples the best that men could think of him, he asks then the very pointed and poignant question, "Whom do ye say that I am?" And that's a question for you. Not for me. I know the answer. I'm satisfied, and many of you do too. "Whom do ye say that I am?" Who is this person called Jesus the Christ? Who is he? Well, let me tell you something. You can determine every false cult and sect in the world today by asking them one question. Where is the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today? And every false cult and sect will tell you it's not in heaven, thereby denying the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this person called Jesus Christ? Who is he? He's the greatest teacher that ever lived. Is that all? He set forth the greatest code of morals that man has ever known. Is that all? He's a great leader. Is that all? Who is Jesus? Well, I'll tell you who he is, and then we'll turn back to the text. Jesus the Christ is God Almighty. He's everlasting, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. Jesus the Christ. Now, when Jesus asked the disciples a question, "Whom do ye say that I am?" Peter, answering for the group, said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You have two things brought out there. Thou art the Christ. The Greek word Christos, translated Christ, is the Hebrew word Mashiach or Messiah. The Messiah of the Old Testament is the Christ of the New Testament. Now, the Messiah of the Old Testament and Christ of the New Testament is the Redeemer. He's the Redeemer. Thank God, there is a Redeemer. And He redeems us from our sins. There's not a one of you present, but what is conscious of sin. There's not a one of you present, but what at some time or other have or has remorse, repentance, sorrow, grief, experience because of sin. Your sin, my sin. Oh, that we could, as Pilate feigned, wash our hands and rid ourselves of our guilt and our sense of shame. But that's impossible. That's impossible. Only He who created man can do away with the effects of sin. Because only He can forgive. Now, thou art the Christ. You're the one who's going to redeem the world from its sin. You're the one who's going to die for the sin of the world. You're the one who's going to blot out the sins of the world. You're the one who's going to speak forgiveness to the sinner and give peace to the troubled and distressed in heart. Thou art the Christ. Now this is Jesus. This is Jesus standing there before them. Whom do ye say that I am? I want to tell you, first of all, that you are the Christ. You're the Messiah of the Old Testament. You're the one who walked about in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and had fellowship with them. You're the one who came in after the sin and got Adam and Eve and Satan together and told of the prophecy that how in due season the seed of the woman would crush thy head. You're the one who appeared unto Moses in the burning bush. The Messiah, the Christ. For the information of some here who may not have heard, when you're reading the Old Testament and see the word Lord in capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Remember, that's a device adopted by the King James translators to show that the Hebrew word is Jehovah. And Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. And it was Jehovah that walked in the garden in the cool of the day. And it was Jehovah that appeared unto Moses in the burning bush. It was Jehovah that appeared unto Joshua as the captain of the Lord's host. It was Jehovah who appeared with two angels unto Abraham on the plains of Mamre. Every manifestation of the Godhead in the Old Testament was in the person of Jehovah, the Christ. You are God Almighty of the Old Testament. You're the one who created the heavens and the earth. You're the one who created all that is. You're the one who holds everything together. You're the one toward which all creation is moving. Thou art the Christ. Now this person who walked the shores of Galilee, who went about doing good, who was so maltreated, nailed to the cross, suffered, bled and died. You that was buried and rose again the third day, or will rise again. You're the Christ. This physical being with a body of flesh and bones. Jesus, you're the Christ. You're the Redeemer. Not only that, you are the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus the Christ. God Almighty. God Almighty. The amazement I encounter among Christians when I talk about the fact that Jesus the Christ is very God of very God. They want to make him something different to God. But we read in the 20th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles that God, not Jesus, God purchased the church with his own blood. God purchased the church with his own blood. I see him in my mind's eye hanging on Calvary's cross. The blood streaming from his body. I hear in my mind's memory his prayer as he looked down upon Israel. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They knew they were crucifying him. They knew they'd nailed him to the cross. They knew they'd beaten, bruised, and buffeted him. They knew they'd spit in his face and cursed and reviled him. But manifestly what they didn't know was that he was their God. They didn't know they were crucifying their God. When I look at Calvary's cross and see Jesus the Christ affixed to that cross, I see the body distending into a shapeless mass of human flesh. I see the dried dust and spittle upon his face caked with blood. The blood that streamed from his hands and his feet. I see there God Almighty nailed to that cross in my place. I see him dying for my own sins. It was my sins and your sins that nailed him to that cross. Whom do ye say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, no man taketh my life from me. He is God Almighty, laid down His own life. He said further, if I lay it down, I will take it up again. He laid His life down and experienced death, and He as a dead individual took up His own life. Only God Almighty could do that. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We've sung at various and sundry times a song, He lives! He lives! Christ Jesus lives! Well, He does, and God lives. Some have pronounced Him dead. I'll never forget when that announcement first came out of Atlanta from one of the universities there in its environs. God is dead! God is dead. How that disturbed and distressed so many people. And many people got some of these things, I don't know what they call them, put them on their bumpers. And they said, my God is alive. Those are all interesting things. I felt led of the Lord at that time to bring a message one Sunday morning. Some of you were here, some of you were not. And it startled many of the people. The title of the sermon was, The Day God Died. And it had dawned on the minds of very, very few people that God did die. The day God died. He died for my sins and for your sins. He died for the sins of the whole world. But He arose again on the third day, and He ever liveth. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. God is alive. And as a dear old friend of mine, study of prophecy, used to say, Hallelujah! God is on His throne, and all is well. It is. All is well with those who name the name of Christ. There's something wrong with you if you're all disturbed and distressed over conditions in the world today. Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world, is the word of our Lord. He's just as powerful today as ever He has been. And He's just as cognizant of our condition as ever He's been. And He loves us as much as He's ever loved us. And everything that's coming to pass and happening is for our good and as a manifestation of His love. Or do you believe all things are working together for good to them that love God and to those who are the called according to His purposes? Jesus the Christ. Jesus is the name of His humanity. Christ is the name of His deity. His name is Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus. It's not Christ. It's Jesus Christ. That's His name. You talk about Him as Jesus all the time, you're denying His deity. You talk about Him as Christ all the time, you're denying His humanity. His name is Jesus Christ. He's not two persons in one. He's one person. The Lord Jesus Christ. The God-man. He's not God and man, as some would have you believe. He's the God-man. One person. One person. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, what a day in eternity. What a day in eternity. Many days of history come to mind. Coming from a western state or a midwestern state or rather, I guess, southwestern state. The day of the Alamo is remembered. The day of San Jacinto is remembered. People still talk about the Galveston hurricane. Over 5,000 people killed in one hurricane there. The day of independence. many days we remember. But in eternity, I doubt not but what somewhere, sometime, somehow, somewhere up there, there will be some discussion about the greatest of all days, the day that God died for the sin of the world. Jesus, the Christ, is the Redeemer God, or God the Redeemer. That's what he's talking about. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the God who's going to redeem. You are the God who is the Redeemer. The Redeemer God, or God the Redeemer. Thou art the Christ. Who is Jesus? I'll tell you who he is. He's God. He's my God. He's my God. Jesus the Christ. More than man. Oh, yes. Yes. Whom do ye say that I am? Whom do you say that he is? Show you the importance of that statement. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. That first verse. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is God Almighty. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Are you saved? Yes. And I've been asked on numerous occasions, how do you know you're saved? I said, innumerable reasons. Of course, all of them hinge on the Word of God. One of them is, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And the Scripture says, I'm saved. That I'm born of God. Not only that, Scripture says, whosoever believeth on the Son has everlasting life. I believed on the Son, and I believe the Word of God. Of course I say. No, I don't. I think it's presumptuous to say you're saved. No, I don't. I don't. I think you're doing discredit to the Word of God and dishonor to God when you do not believe the Word of God. My salvation stands on the Word of God and the faithfulness of God, and not on my faithfulness or not my understanding or my capacity to explain. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's the reason Jesus can save. That's the reason Jesus can keep. Whom say ye that I am? People talk so glibly about God. 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 Lost people. Obscene people. Vulgar, filthy, degenerate people. Talk about God. But even among Christians in general conversation, it's seldom you hear one talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear Christians tell me, well, God has been good to me. I say, well, who is your God? Gods there are many. But there's only one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who is your God? Satan will do everything within his power to keep you from talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can talk about Jesus, and that doesn't offend many people because that just refers to a human being somewhere. Jesus. Jesus. But why don't you say, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? That startles to people. Every mouth is stopped when you go talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. They know then of whom you speak. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, or Simon, son of a dove. Bar meaning son, and Jonah, dove. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of a dove. Peace, joy, tranquility, happiness, your portion comparable to the dove. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. You did not sit down and reckon with my works and my words and determine that I was the Christ, the Son of the living God. No man can see in me the Christ, the Son of the living God. That comes as a revelation from God. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. No man taught thee, thou didst not learn it of thyself. But my Father which is in heaven, he hath shown you that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's a revelation that comes from Christ. Insight of the Holy Spirit of God. And there comes into your consciousness one occasion, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is very God of very God. Jesus the Christ. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord of lords, that he's the King of kings, that he's the Christ, thou shalt be saved. Whom say ye that Jesus is? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. What must I do to be saved? That question was asked by the Philippian jailer of Paul and Silas. He said unto them, Lords, which was a term of respect that could be translated in modern vernacular, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's what was in mind when it said Sarah called her Master Lord. She said, sir, to him. But the Spirit of the Lord through Paul took that occasion to emphasize something else. Here's what the Philippian jailer said, Lords! What must I do to be saved? Paul replied, Believe on thee, Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thee, Lord, there's just one. Believe on thee, Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What think ye of Jesus? What think ye of him? What do you think of him? Well, I'll tell you what I thought of him. I believed he was a Christ, and I confessed it before men. I did. And I was obedient unto his command, buried in beautiful baptism. Now, what think ye of Jesus? You came here this morning without any pronounced conviction on him. Now the question is asked, what do you think of Jesus? Do you believe he's the Christ? Do you believe he's the Redeemer God? Do you believe he's the one who died for your sins? You can walk the aisle, you can give me a hand, you say, Brother Wilson, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I receive him as my Savior. There's a cordial invitation to every man, woman, boy, and girl present who knows not Jesus as their Savior. This morning, to confess your faith in him, come forward and give me a hand and say, I'm receiving Jesus as my Savior this morning. I'm believing on him.